Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, today we are continuing our Heart of a Giant Killer series out of the life of David, and we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and as we look at that, I just want to encourage you, the story of David is absolutely fascinating. So fascinating that you may know this, on Amazon, they recently released a series called House of David, and it's actually pretty accurate. But if you watch it, I would encourage you to watch it. It will help you kind of like the story come alive as we're going through this series. Ironically, we were planning the series before we even knew House of David was coming out. But how cool how God brings everything together. Isn't that awesome? And so I want to encourage you to do that. Next week, we're going to be looking at Saul. King Saul basically is a huge part of the story of what God does in David's life. Saul kind of descends into like a madness type state. He's like, and it's really demonic. So we're going to be looking at how that worked. We're going to be talking about demonic deliverance in reference to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 18. You are not going to want to miss it. In fact, it's going to be a good one to invite friends to. But honestly, every part of this series is just super interesting, super fascinating. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17 today at one of the most famous, epic showdowns in world history, the story of David and Goliath. Come on, somebody. And I believe God wants to kill giants in your life. I believe God wants to bring victory to your life in Jesus' name. And you're going to get some principles on how to do that. But first, to set the stage, let's dive into the story. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war, and Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley in between them. You know what's really neat about the valley of Elah is if you go to Israel, that valley is pretty much the same as it was in David's day. You can very much picture where the armies would be. In fact, we'll put a picture up. This is the valley of Elah. And this is from the perspective of one hillside looking over at the other. So imagine across that valley, there's the army of the Philistines or the army of Israel. And on the opposite, you have the opposing army. In the middle is something called the Brook of Elah. And that's where David would have got 5 smooth stones and went to fight the giant Goliath down in the valley. It's so neat that you can picture it that way. So as we're talking about the story, be thinking of this kind of scene right here. Let's continue on in chapter 17. And a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. Now, I want you to understand that up until this moment, Saul and the army would have been very familiar with this type of battle scene. Saul had fought some battles and he had won a lot of battles. And so as they're facing the Philistines, there might have been a level of confidence that was in play as they go into this moment. But all of a sudden, something unexpected happens. Goliath, the giant, walks out and his height was 6 cubits in a span. That would have meant he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. Yeah, that's very tall. But not only was he tall, he was also a large person. Look at this. It talks about his armor in detail. It said he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Now you'd be like, I have no idea what a shekel is. Good. Well, we've done the math for you. That's 125 pounds just in his coat of armor. This guy is a big dude. Anybody run with a weighted vest ever? Imagine running with 125 pounds and then having to fight people who are trying to kill you. That's Goliath. But fortunately, he's 9 feet 9 inches tall, so I think he's got it. Next. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, 16.5 to 25 pounds. In fact, to give you a sense of the size of Goliath, I'm actually going to have, we built a spear replica for you. Bring out the spear if you wouldn't mind. So this is a 2-scale Goliath spear right here. That gives you the sense of what they're facing. The height of Goliath would have been that tape line up at the top. So imagine you're the Israelites. You're in battle, and then a guy comes out yelling at you, saying, hey, I just want to fight one person, and he's holding this. That's why we're talking about giants today. Not only would Goliath be doing this, but giants in the Bible, if you look up biblical history, they're demonic beings. This is a demonized, large person coming out to challenge the armies of Israel. And that's why today is so relevant to anybody facing a giant. I'm going to put the spear over here. So stay. That's why it's relevant today, because maybe you're facing a giant in your marriage. Maybe you're facing a giant in your finances. Maybe you're facing a giant with one of your kids. Maybe you're facing a giant in a relationship. Whatever that situation is, you know what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord will raise up a banner against them. The question is, are you ready to fight the giant? Because God has brought you here today because he wants to give you victory. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. You can defeat the giant in Jesus' name. But I want to give you three principles today about defeating the giant in your life. Three things that we learn from the life of David as he goes up to fight this giant. The first thing is, if you want to defeat the giants in your life, you got to faithfully serve where God has placed you. Faithfully serve where God has placed you. Let's look at it. It says, now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. And he's like, and while you're at it, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back an assurance from them. So initially, you know, you think, okay, you want to defeat giants in your life. And notice David is not even on the battlefield. So God's called you to be a giant killer. But maybe you look at your life and you're like, Brandon, my life doesn't look anything like giant killing. I'm more like in the cheese delivery boy category. He's a cheese boy. You know, he does cheeses things. Take these cheeses, take this bread, you know, run the errands. And make sure you take care of the sheep. Leave somebody with the sheep, you know. David, at this point, he's been anointed king. Yet he's still in the zone of doing the faithful serving things. But it is faithfulness, not ambition. It is faithfulness, not amping himself up. It is faithfulness that puts him on the battlefield. It's faithfulness that puts him in the position to defeat the giant. It's faithfulness that takes him into his destiny. And my question for you today, if you want to see God defeat giants in your life, is are you faithfully serving where God has placed you? Are you taking the opportunities that God has put in front of you and saying, God, I know you have a calling on my life. God, I know, God, there's things you want to do. There's things I sense you want to do in my life. But God, I am going to be patient and I'm going to be faithful and I am going to serve because I know my calling is going to be accomplished by your hand, not mine. It's powerful when you do that because God can do more with supernatural coincidence than you could ever do with your human intentionality any day of the week. God can put you where he needs to put you. God can place you in that position. God can give you that influence, but you want him to do it by his power. How does that happen? It happens by serving. Notice, you know, Jesse comes to David. He says, hey, I need you to deliver this stuff. David could have said, oh, Dad, I don't know if you remember, but do you know who you're talking to? I am anointed. I am the next king of Israel. I've graduated from delivering things. I'm past all of that now. If you put yourself in that position, a position of pride that says, I can't serve, I can't be faithful, I'm beyond this, then you remove the ability for God to put you on the battlefield. God has destiny on your life. God has calling on your life. God has supernatural things he wants to do. The question is, are you humble enough to say, God, I'm going to be faithful and serve? Some of the giants in your life will only be defeated if you're faithful and serve. Some of the giants in your life will only be, you'll only end up on that battlefield to fight them if you're faithful and serve. Some of you, that means, you know what? You need to get into Grow Track. You need to say, God, I'm going to be faithful to serve. You need to say, God, I'm going to get on a dream team. I'm going to serve in the kids ministry. Well, I don't know, Brandon. I feel like I might be beyond that. No. You know what? First of all, we ain't babysitting in the kids ministry. We're raising up world changers for Jesus Christ in the kids ministry. We're pouring into those kids, and God may want you to be a part of that. Are you willing to serve? Because if you're willing to serve, you're going to be ready to fight and defeat the giant. The second thing we see is you must overcome fear. Look at it. It says, he, David, reached the camp, left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. So he's doing what his dad asked him to do. He's serving, he's honoring, and that's what positions him for the next part. As he was talking with them, Goliath the Philistine, the champion of Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Just so you know what Goliath is shouting, the Bible actually tells us, this is what Goliath says. Goliath stood and shouted in the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Why do you even do that? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. You know what? This is why this is a challenge, not only to the Israelites, but to Israel's God. Now, Goliath directly defies Yahweh, which is the God of Israel. But in doing this, he's basically saying, you know what? If your God is so great, why do we have to all have a battle and kill each other? Just send one guy out here. If he can beat me, then great. If he's so awesome, why don't you just do it that way? We'll save ourselves a lot of trouble. You'll be our servants. He's shouting. Look at the next part. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And on hearing this, the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So you think David steps out, he delivers the cheese, he gets to the battle line, he's right there. And what does David do when Goliath comes out? Watch what he does. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. David runs with everybody else. Now, I hope that's really encouraging to you today. If you're facing a giant, if you're facing an impossibility and you feel like, but Brandon, I am afraid. You don't feel like you belong in the giant killer category because you're so afraid of your situation. You're afraid and you've ran and you're like, I've actually responded in fear. That's exactly what David did. He ran with everybody else. But at some point when he was running, he gets a hold of himself and says, wait a second. Why am I running? I'm a child of God. I'm part of the chosen people. I'm not gonna run. Some of you are running. And the Holy Spirit's here. And he's speaking to you and saying, you're a child of God. I've chosen you. I've marked you. You're my son, you're my daughter. And you know what? He's speaking to you, so you come to that sense and be like, you know what? I'm not gonna be afraid of this giant anymore. Look at what David says. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Come on, that's Christian cussing right there, all right? He says, you know what? Our God's greater than this guy. Why are we running? The first thing, if you're going to overcome fear, is you have to overcome fear of the giant. Fear of the problem. Fear of that thing that's standing in front of you that you don't think you can beat. Fear of that thing that you think, man, that's greater than me, that's stronger than me. You have to put it in the context of I am a child of God. So if I'm against this, then God's against it. If God's with me, who can be against me? And I'm not going to fear the giant anymore. I'm going to say, you know what? Who is this to defy what God has said he's going to do in my life? Who is this to defy what God has said he's going to do in my marriage? Who is this to defy the plan and the purposes of God for me? I know some people in here, you're facing an addiction. And that addiction, if it could talk, would tell you, I have you. You've tried to get out. You tried to overcome it. And you need to look that giant in the eyes and say, who are you to defy the Lord? I can overcome this in the name of Jesus. He is going to help me. There's power when we do that. There's power when we say, I'm not going to be afraid of the giant anymore. The giant's got to go. Oh, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, the giant's got to go. Turn to your second choice, the other neighbor, and say, giant's got to go. Guess I'll include you too. Here's the thing. When you start to say, okay, God, or you start to say, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of the giant anymore. And you start to move in the other direction, in the direction of defeating the giant. You not only need to overcome fear of the giant, you need to become over fear of being misunderstood. Because the second you take steps to defeat the giant, the enemy will challenge that. I mean, maybe you have a giant in your workplace and it's standing for the Lord in your workplace. It's being a Christian, being a believer. Maybe you put your Bible out on your desk or you talk to people about your faith and you recognize there's a giant here spiritually and God has positioned me here to take that giant down. Well, I can tell you that the enemy will challenge that and often he'll challenge it by your motives being misunderstood. Look at what happens to David. He starts talking to people about defeating the giant. And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked him, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are. How wicked your heart is. You came down to only watch the battle. I know what's going on the inside. You think you're better than everybody else. I know why you're doing this. You're just trying to get what you want. You try to do something, you try to take steps towards defeating the giant, and your motives are misunderstood. If you're going to defeat the giants in your life, you have to say, I'm not going to be afraid of being misunderstood. Because when you're afraid of being misunderstood, you can fall into people pleasing. Trying to accommodate what somebody else thinks about what you're doing. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And when you say, I'm going to be a person of conviction, I'm not going to live in fear, this is not godly what's happening here. This is not good. It doesn't mean you need to be a jerk. It doesn't mean that you need to force your way. But as you do it, if your motives are misunderstood and people are trying to say, you know what, you're doing this because of that, you cannot fall into people pleasing. You have to say like, hey, I might be misunderstood, but I'm going to do what's right. I might be misunderstood, but I know God's called me to this. I might be misunderstood, but I'm not going to fear that or fear what people think about me. I'm going to fear the Lord, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to do what's right, and he's going to help me bring this giant down in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Next, you cannot fear being inadequate. You can't fear being inadequate. If you're not misunderstood, then somebody might come to you and say, well, you can't do this. That's exactly what happens to David. He goes to Saul. It says, now, what have I done? David says, can I even speak? This is him talking to his brother. So he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. What happens if somebody kills this giant. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, I love this, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Now, David is a young man at this point, okay? The giant has been doing what he's doing. Goliath's been coming out doing what he's doing for 40 days. David sees this as a problem. Why is he doing this? And not only why is he doing it, why are we allowing him to do it? Something rises up in him and says, this has got to be taken care of. And it doesn't really matter what I have or don't have. Somebody's got to do it. So whenever you do that, people will begin to point out your inadequacies. The enemy will be able to begin to point out your inadequacies. Watch what Saul says. He says, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him, for you are only a young man. And he's been a warrior since his youth. So here's what happens. You know what? You want to take down the giant. You believe God's called you to do it. The enemy will start to build comparisons between you and other people to say why you can't do it. It can be stuff that he puts in your own spirit. Well, you're not as spiritual as that person, so you can't take down a giant. You haven't been walking with Jesus as long. You know, you're not really the spiritual type, so you can't take down a giant. Oh, wait, no. Do you know your past? Do you know what you've done? Do you remember who you are and you think you're gonna make a difference? Inadequacy. Oh, yeah, you remember? You didn't come from a Christian home. Like, you can't create an atmosphere in your home that's healthy. Who do you think you are? Do you know why you're broken? You're the problem. Do you know why there's giants in front of you? It's your fault. And you think you can take them down. The enemy likes to pour that inadequacy over, point out things that you can't do. Your education is not enough. You're not smart enough. You're not spiritual enough. All designed to keep you from what God is calling you to do. And if you're going to defeat giants in your life, you're gonna have to stop saying, I'm looking at myself. Because if David really did evaluate himself, sure, he could see things God had done in his life, but if it was just all about him, really he has no business fighting the giant. You know, the key to defeating when the enemy says you're inadequate is to say, you know what? But I got history. And I may not have fought a giant, but when I was out in the field, I fought a lion. And when I was out with the sheep, I fought a bear. And the Spirit of God came upon me, and I didn't feel adequate then, and God helped me win. And so it doesn't matter if it's a lion or a bear, the Lord goes before me, and if he fights for me, this giant is going down. It doesn't matter what I have, it matters what I have put into his hands. It doesn't matter what I bring to the table, it matters what I bring to him. And if he goes with me and he blesses it, he will empower me to defeat the giant in Jesus' name. David doesn't let the fear of inadequacy stop him. But here's the thing about inadequacy. When you feel inadequate, you might find yourself overcompensating. If that inadequacy and what Saul spoke to him, he would have given it power over him, he would have made mistakes. Because watch what Saul does. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. He fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried, so this is David, fastened the sword on his tunic, walking around, because he was not used to them. He said, I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. What is this saying? This is saying that when God calls you to do something, God's gonna use what you have to accomplish it. Empowered by his Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that David is saying swords are bad. This doesn't mean that David is saying advice is bad. You notice David tries it. But if you're insecure and inadequate, you'll take things on and try to do things that there's no grace on in your life. And you have to say, God, what are you calling me to do? You've given me the experiences I have. It doesn't mean that I don't use help, But it does mean that I don't try to please once again what somebody thinks I need. I'm gonna walk in the grace that I have. And the grace that I have is I'm really good with a slingshot. I'm not so good with a sword, never used one, so I'm not gonna take that with me. But here's the thing, in your Christian life, you might start with a sling, but David doesn't use a sling for the rest of his life. He doesn't become the slingshot warrior. In the next few chapters, we'll notice he's using a sword pretty quickly. Oftentimes, as believers, we get saved, we see God use us through prayer or whatever, but we never grow past that. And there's so many parts of our Christian life that God wants to use to defeat future enemies, so we have to be willing to grow. If you misunderstand this passage, you'll say, oh, I don't really need help. I don't really need other tools. I don't need other things. I'm a slingshot guy. I just pray, you know. This is the person that doesn't really use church. They just pray on their own, and they have their own Christianity, their own personal religion. They don't understand the power of corporate worship. They don't understand declaring an authority for somebody to be healed. Yes, it's great to pray, but oftentimes Jesus said, be healed in Jesus' name. The Christian has authority to do that. The Christian has power through worship. Raising our hands in worship says the Lord is our banner. It brings his presence into our situation, his power into our situation when we raise our hands. We have to grow beyond the place that we are, but God uses us where we're at by his grace in Jesus' name, and we don't live in fear by what we don't have. Amen? Finally, we see this. If you want to defeat the giants in your life, you have to have a confident faith in God, a confident faith in God. Let's look at it. And David approached the Philistine. With his shield bearer in front of him, he kept coming closer to David. He looked at David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health, handsome, and he despised him. He's like, that's what you guys are sending me? Really? This is the moment. Everybody likes to talk about everything up till this moment. The moment when you're like, yes, God, I believe you want me to face my giant. And you walk out to face your giant. You take action. You take a step of faith. And the giant looks at you and is just like, you're a joke. In that moment, it's critical that you keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm gonna wake up. I'm not gonna live depressed anymore. I'm gonna hope in God. I'm gonna read my Bible. The enemy looks at you and says, no, you're not. You're a joke. Oh, yes, I am. Because my eyes are on the Lord. I'm gonna build a great marriage. I'm gonna stop talking down my spouse. I'm gonna start breathing life and speaking life into my home. The enemy says, you're a joke. You don't have the upbringing for that. You don't know how to be a good dad. You're a joke. No, I'm not. When you step into the enemy's space, he will try to intimidate you. You have to be ready for it, but it's not by you amping yourself up. It's by you keeping your eyes on the Lord. You don't just get in the enemy's space. In faith, you speak to the enemy. See, some of you think, oh, if I walk in there and I take on the giant and I just take some action, that's all it takes. No, the words that come out of your mouth have to speak faith if you want to defeat the giant. Watch what David says. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. You know, before we read on, think of this. Faith isn't denying the reality. Faith isn't saying, there's no giant, there's no spear. Like what I see, your spear can't hurt me. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. And David says, yeah, that's a really big spear. You come against me with your weapons. Faith doesn't deny the reality of like, I'm not sick or there's not a problem or, you know, I'm just gonna try to move forward. And that's the same as beating a giant. No, faith sees the problem, sees the reality and speaks to it. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, in Jesus' name. I love that. I love that he says the whole world will know. We're talking about it today. All those gathered will know that it's not by sword or it's not by spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's the key. The battle is the Lord's. Some of you are facing a massive battle today, and God has brought you here to encourage you. God has brought you here to say, you know what? I see where you're at. I know what you're walking through. And just remember, I'm with you. I'm for you, not against you. The battle is the Lord's. There's a spiritual battle element, but God is going to help you in the spiritual battle, and he's gonna help you in the physical battle. And if you're facing a battle today, right now, I wanna invite you to stand. I wanna pray for every person, every campus facing a battle. Just as an act of faith, you say, God, I know you see me, and God, I believe the battle is the Lord's. All across this place, we're gonna pray in Jesus' name that God defeats the giant, and that God brings supernatural victory in the name of Jesus. Would you raise your hands, all those standing across every campus? Lord, you see every hand. And you are the God of angel armies. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And God, some of these people, God, with hands raised, are facing demonic battles. The enemy has come against them like a flood. Lord, I pray that you defeat the enemy in Jesus' name. Some of them are facing financial battles, but you're the God who provides. Some of them are facing battles in their marriage, God. Lord, mountains that they can't climb on their own. They need your help. Lord, remind them, fill their heart with the truth. The battle is the Lord's. Some of them are facing problems they can't solve, God. Lord, relationships that they can't change, God. Lord, kids that have walked away from the Lord or not doing well and they don't know what to do. God, the battle is the Lord's. We give every single battle to you, God, knowing that you will fight for those with hands raised, God. You are our banner, God. And Lord, you will help those who call on you. God, Lord, their testimony is gonna be, I called to the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me out of all my fears. He set my feet upon the rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come on, let's praise the Lord. God's gonna put fresh courage inside of you. God's gonna put fresh faith inside of you. The battle is the Lord's.